Certainly grateful to be able to be here this evening and to speak unto you the unsearchable riches of the Word of God, to learn more of God's will and way and how He would have us to live before Him. It's good to have every one of you. I think most of you have made an effort to be here every night of this meeting, and for that we are grateful. Young people not only work during the day, but they have homework at night, and you've been here faithfully, and we're grateful for that. And for those of you who are older and working and getting home and rushing and being here every night this week, we're grateful for your presence as well. We hope that the week will have been beneficial as it comes to its conclusion here in just a couple of days. Turn, if you will, to Daniel chapter 3. And this is not going to be something that's unfamiliar to you. It's going to be a rather familiar story as we talk to you about Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were taken captivity far from their homeland, taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar the king. And in verse 8 it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And the prince of the eunuchs said, "Listen, you're going to eat what the king gave you, because if you start looking pretty poorly, then it's going to be my head. I'm in charge of you, and if you're not taken care of, and if you're not being fed well, and you don't look as healthy as the other guys, then I'm going to die." So we find right off the bat that the king is not afraid to kill somebody. Just because somebody's not doing their job, they don't fire them, they kill them. In chapter 2, when we find that the king, we're having a little ringing, okay. I didn't know if that was all me or what. In chapter 2, we find that King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And you remember that he says, "I don't know what I dreamed." Did you ever do that? I know I dreamed, but I can't remember what I dreamed about. So he says, "All right, all you wise men and astrologers and magicians, you tell me what I dreamed and you interpret the dream for me. Oh, by the way, John, I had a dream last night and I can't remember what it was. Now you tell me what the dream was. If you can't tell me what it was, you can't interpret it, I'm going to kill you." And I got a .38 Magnum right here. Now that'd be kind of a fearful thing. Now, John would do what these magicians did. Well, King, tell us what the dream was about, and then we'll interpret it for you. Cannot do that. No can do. I don't remember. And he said, "I know what you're trying to do. If I tell you the dream, then you'll say, 'Oh, well, this is surely what it means. I'll make up something. To save my life, I'll tell you.'" But to save their life, they couldn't tell him. So he said, "All you magicians and astrologers and wise men, you're all going to die." And guess what four men were included in that number? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the fellow who was going to do the job is going around, and he told Daniel, said, "I got to kill all you guys." And Daniel said, "Well, let me do some talking here," and that was to God. And he does pray to God. And then about verse 18, beautiful prayer, and you'll just take the time to read that on your own. But he prays to God, and God gives him the answer, and he thanks God for the answer to his prayer. And then Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar the dream and the interpretation of it, and that's chapter 2. Now in chapter 3, the basis of our story tonight, we find Daniel not included in this chapter, but his three friends are. And when they were taken captivity, most scholars believe that they were teenagers. By the word that was used in chapter 1, in verse 4, the word "children," in whom was no blemish, but well favored. And the word was used for young men about the age 14, 15 years old. And they had to go to school for 3 years. They had to be trained in the Babylonian ways. And so after that was over, that time period, they would be somewhere around close to 18 or 20 years old. Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 1 of chapter 3, the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain in the province in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Somebody has suggested that this statue was somewhere around 90 feet high. Who was it? Oral Roberts? Didn't he see Jesus? He was 900 feet high a few years ago. Remember that if he didn't do what? If he didn't get so many millions of dollars, that the Lord was going to take him home. Well, Nebuchadnezzar built a statue about 90 feet tall, and this was over near Babylon, the province of Babylon, and it's a very fruitful area near the between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So you see, just like sometimes a big bridge is built or a big building is built, what do we have? A dedication, don't we? A ribbon-cutting ceremony, and that's what was going on. So all the higher-ups and the officials were invited to come, because when they go back home, they're going to tell the people what they saw and then something else that went along with this. Verse 4, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So they see the statue, now they see a rule. Whenever you hear the sound of the music, everybody bows down. Or you will be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And as we've already shown, the king's not afraid to kill somebody. Life meant nothing to them. You know, if our president's not happy with somebody, what does he do? Yeah, you're dismissed out here. See you. And we get somebody else. They run him off and run another one on, don't they? Well, what Nebuchadnezzar would have done, just kill you. You're not doing your job. You die. You're the prince of the eunuchs, and you're not doing your job. You die. You're a magician, wise man, astrologer. You don't know what I ask you to do. You're going to die. Not just one of you, but all of you. And so if you don't bow down, they had seen this king in action. They'd seen him. They knew when he said, burning fiery furnace, you're going to be cast if you don't bow down. You're going to die. You're not going to get you any fancy-smancy lawyer and barter with this guy. Because you stand up when everybody else is bowing, it's over. So what we have here, with Nebuchadnezzar, we have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have it challenged. We have their faith challenged. Suppose in this country there was a decree made that whenever music was played, you had to bow down. This certain music, you had to bow down before a certain image. Would you do it or would you die? And you're not going to have a bullet put in your brain. You're going to be pushed into a burning, fiery furnace, the anticipation of which is going to be pretty deplorable. So therefore, at verse 7, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all the kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Well, again, we say birds of a feather flock together. You're going to bow. Yeah, well, I'm going to bow too. Yeah, everybody bows. Because if you all bow and I'm standing up there, something's wrong with me, isn't there? Okay? And if I don't bow immediately, well, I guess I will. Because I don't want, somebody's going to report back to the king that I didn't bow. Verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, And they spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. This is the usual customary greeting. If you get an audience with the king, you praise him first of all. And then they drop the hammer. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down, verse 11, and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And if I'm the king sitting on the throne, yes, that's exactly right. Go on. Well, verse 12, there are certain Jews, whose names we really hate to mention, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. When the law was made, there's the challenge. And say the law was made today that you had to bow before a golden image or die. Well, we're going to have to be making up our minds what we're going to do, aren't we? When the music plays, what do? Well, actually, your mind should already be made up. Bowing is out of the question. Too many people, when they are challenged, are making up their mind. When the test is coming, they're making up their mind. Somebody asks you to go someplace or do something that you know you should not do, a place you should not go. If you're making up your mind when they ask you, then you'll probably go. Already know when somebody asks you to someplace to go that is wrong, you know it's wrong, let them know. And give them a definitive no. Let them know where you stand. Well, their faith was challenged when the law was made, and now we find before the king that their faith is accused. Now we're starting to get somewhere that's not going to be so pleasant. And not only, it wasn't accused to the neighbor. Hey, did you see those three boys down there? They're not bound. They're not doing what the king said. No, these Chaldeans, these jealous, envious Chaldeans, and if you've read the first two chapters, you know how these fellows have moved up. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because God was on their side. And they've moved up in the kingdom, and these Chaldeans were looking for a way to bring them down. That happens in business. You'll learn, young people, you get a job, and maybe somebody will get promoted over somebody else. And if the person doesn't have any principles who got overlooked in the promotion, he'll do everything he can to bring down the person who was promoted over him. He'll talk about how lousy a worker he is, how terrible a person he is. He'll do all of that. And he'll think that he's making him look good and making this fellow up here look bad when he's the one that's being made to look bad. He'll never get a promotion when he acts that way. But this is what these Jews were doing. And they went right to the king and said, you've made this law, and here are three Jews that you've brought in among us, and they don't regard your laws, they don't regard you, and they don't serve the gods that you've set up. Well, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury. Now, you ever see somebody's mad? That's not rage and fury, is it? Young people, you ever see your mom or your dad in rage, in fury? It's not very pleasant, is it? Don't like to see that. Well, here is a king who has the power of life and death. And there were a few times before my father that I thought I was going to meet the Lord. I thought it was all over. But here is a king who has the power of life and death and would kill. Literally killed. And he is in a rage and fury. And he commanded, he said, bring them in. I know where they live. Bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew why they were going? and where they were going? Sure they did. Now, their faith having been challenged and accused before the king, now it's brought to them and it's threatened. What are they going to do? When I hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, and the psaltery, and all kinds of music, I'm not going to bow the first time. I know I shouldn't bow. But now I am being brought before the authority who made the rule, and now what will I do? I give Nebuchadnezzar a little bit of credit here, verse 14. By the time the three boys got there, maybe he had cooled down and he had thought a little bit about what was going to happen. And so he puts them on trial. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" Maybe he knew these men of his may have had a tendency to lie and not tell all the truth, and knew that they were jealous over these three Jewish boys being elevated and them not. So he asked them, "Is it true?" They could have denied it. They could have said, "Who else? I mean, we've been with you for all this time, and you think we wouldn't bow?" That, "Why, sure, blow them, we'll show you." So he makes this proposition, verse 15. "Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, dulcimer, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, great. All will be forgiven. All will be well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And notice this: "Who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Nebuchadnezzar, with all of his gods, didn't know a God who could save anybody from a fire. None of his gods. And he said, "What God can do that?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king. Obviously one of them answered, but they all agreed in unity, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, there's no need for you to bargain with us. There's no need for you to talk to us about this matter, because we're not going to change. We refuse to change. We refuse to bargain with you. So we just don't care about this. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Do you know they hadn't read Daniel 3? Did you know they did not know the rest of this story? They said, "Our God is able to deliver us. If he chooses to do that, he can deliver. But whether he does or doesn't, we're not going to bow." Now, you're not just talking to John Doe. You're talking to Nebuchadnezzar. "If it be so, he can. But if not, that's all right. If not," verse 18, "be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." That took courage, didn't it? That took faith. And you don't get that faith and you don't get that courage all of a sudden. This is something that grows. Peter says, add to your faith. Your faith needs to be growing constantly. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And these things be in you and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. But if they're not, the implication is you're going to be in trouble. Here are three young men who stood unified. And I'll tell you what, young people, that's what you need to do too. You're going to be challenged in school to do things and to go places, but stand together. When my children were growing up, the band leader couldn't understand why some of the kids could miss on Wednesday night and go to the band practices and go to the band events when some of the other kids didn't. Be consistent. He said, that's all I ask of you. That's all I ask. Want to know why they weren't. What if Shadrach and Meshach had stood together and said, we're not going to bow, but Abednego said, well, boy, go ahead and blow the horns and I think I'll bow. It helps when you have somebody to stand with you, but if you don't, you stand anyway. You'll not be sorry, as we'll see at the end of this chapter. But they stood together, verse 18. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. You've seen somebody angry. We talked about your parents. You've seen somebody angry. Sometimes I've just wished that I could do like Bugs Bunny and pull a full-length mirror out, you know, out of your pocket and show people when they're angry just what they look like. My brother describes them like a big old swollen frog on a lily pad. And you know they're going to stand somewhere where everybody can see them, that they're mad. I'm not talking to him. I'm not talking to her. And they may think they look cute. I wish I had a Polaroid camera sometime and just snap them real quick and show them their picture. It's not cute. But be that as it may, the form of his visage was changed. Yes, when you get angry, you change, don't you? Sure you do. Well, here's the king who was used to getting his way, and here were three boys who were telling him, not today. Not today. Their faith threatened. Now it is tested. Their faith is tested. The king says, I mean what I said. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. In other words, get it as hot as you can. Throw another log on the fire. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, I mean business. And to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And here is what the burning fiery furnace looked like. It was something like an igloo. It had a hole up here at the top. And down here there was an opening where you started the fire, you put the wood in, and the flames roared out the top here like a chimney. And the prisoners were marched up here, and they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. Imagine, if you can, close your eyes if you have to, but imagine yourself being one of these boys. And these men grab you, and they're taking you, and they're not. And listen to what it says here, 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Historians tell us that usually they were given burning robes. They were stripped of their clothing, and it was taken away from them. And they were just put into these old prison garb. And they were going to. But this was such a hurry, they were in their own coats, their own clothing, everything, just like they were. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, he said, now, I mean now. And if you don't do it now, you die. And the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was so hot and roaring. You've been close to a roaring fire, haven't you? You heard it? I saw a heat treat furnace opened. You ever seen one? I stopped and looked at it, and it's roaring fire, and of course the first thing you think of is hell. Hot, roaring, burning. And the fire was so hot that it slew the king's strongest men. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Yes, sir. They were taken and they were cast. One day they walked up that little hill. All three of them. And as the men that were pushing them were close, they died. The soldiers died. And all three of these young men were cast into this fire. 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And I just imagine that the king had the best seat in the house out here. He was sitting because he rose up. He marched out there with them. And he said, didn't we cast three men? And he said, I see four. They said, yeah, we cast three in. True, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I see four men loose. Did you ever jump across the fire? I was little. We, you know, candle flame, you know, whoo, look how brave I am. Woo. Nobody ever did this. Nobody put their hand over that flame and just left it. They knew what the price was going to be. And I don't give anybody any ideas. Fire is not fun. Don't mess around with it. It's hospital bait, is what it is. But he said, I see four men loose walking around. They're not coming out, they're walking around in there. Oh, they're getting along just fine. Everybody else dies. As long as you take a little breath of fire, it's over for you. Your lungs are like Kleenex, folks. It's over. You're gone. But he said, I see them. We had them tied, bound, and now they're loose and they're walking and they're not hurt. Their faith was tested, wasn't it? Had I been marching up this and hearing the roaring, hold it. I think I've had a change of mind. Tell me it wouldn't be tempting. You've got time now to get out of this. They didn't do it. They knew, live or dead, they're going to be better off, but they're not going to bow before the king. And they lived, and now their faith was vindicated. Their faith was vindicated. It was worth something. And it was proven to be so. But alive or dead, they win. Did you ever have flip a coin, heads or tails? Heads I win, tails I win. Did you ever have a game like that? That's how they were going to come out. We can't lose. Isn't that what Paul said? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, Philippians 1? Sure. Do I feel that way right now? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain? Better. I'd better feel that way. And that's the way they felt. Here's young people. Not somebody 80, 90 years old. Young people away from home. Who's going to know? We've been taken captive. Who's going to know? They knew God would. And they knew God was in their lives and that He cared. And they were going to show it. 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. They weren't in any hurry. A few years ago, I wrote an article about an air-conditioned furnace, and this is the one I was talking about. God air-conditioned the furnace. But he's got another furnace, folks, that he's not going to air-condition. When we die, if we're not one of his children, we're going to be cast into that burning fiery furnace, if you will, where the worm dieth not, where there's rest neither day or night, in outer darkness. And I don't want to be cast into that fire. But these three men came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies, listen to this, the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. One of the first things that goes is your hair in a fire. It's gone. I know that's so. I've experienced that. And they saw it. Can you imagine what they told when they got back home? Remember when Nebuchadnezzar said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" You think this made a believer? Johnny Cash sang a song 30, 40 years ago about these three boys, and he said, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. They wouldn't bow before Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. They wouldn't bend God's laws, and they would not burn. They were made of tough meat. They were all backbone and gristle, somebody said. They had the faith. The kind of faith that you and I need to have. And when problems come along, we don't throw in the towel. We rejoice, as we said the other night, and be exceeding glad. Paul told Timothy, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The Hebrew writer says, "None of us have resisted unto blood, yet have we." But we need to be willing to do that. If a nation takes over this nation and they say, "You quit worshiping God or die," what will it be? Young people, what will it be? You got your whole lives ahead of you, and you'd like to be old as this old preacher up here. You'd like to have a family of your own. But if it were to live and serve idolatry or to die and go to heaven, think about it. Don't be blinded by the joys of this world, because they won't last anyway. The pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11 and verse 25. All of us need to feel that way. Not curse God and die, but serve God and live. Their faith was vindicated. All these higher ups saw this. Verse 28 now. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word." And that was never done. The king's word was never changed. Once he spoke it, it could not be changed, just like in Daniel being thrown in the lion's den later on in this book. They would not change, but the law was changed. They yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And that ought to talk for us as well. So now we find their faith not only vindicated, but their faith was triumphant. And so can our faith, your faith and my faith, be triumphant. But we're going to have to go through this. Our faith will be challenged. It will be accused. It will be threatened. It will be tested. And when it goes through all of that, then it will be vindicated. Remember that. Remember, your faith is going to be vindicated when you're going through the accusation and the threatened period and the testing period, that the end is going to come out good for you. Don't back off here or here or here when you're so close. So close. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Galatians 6 and verse 9, Paul says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." A lot of people have almost reaped, but they fainted. They threw in the towel. They raised the white flag. They quit just when the vindication time was about upon them. How many people have you read about that have been lost in the desert or been lost somewhere, and they came so close to being found, and they were just a few feet away from water, and they died. They died. Don't quit. It won't be worth it. It won't be worth it. I know there's headaches and heartaches and eldership that have problems with some hard-headed members sometimes. And I've seen elders who hang in there, and you have too, and in the midst of trials and troubles. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you don't faint. Remember these three young men. Remember their faith. And this is not a myth or a fairy tale. One day they did walk that little hill. And one day they were cast into that burning fire furnace. And while they were here, they didn't know if they were going to live or die. They didn't know the rest of the story. But all of this is written, Paul says, for our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. For our learning. And now it is triumphant. They would not change to serve the gods of Nebuchadnezzar. And they yielded their bodies that they might not serve and worship any other god except their God. Therefore, listen, I make a decree that every people, nation and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Not burned, but cut in pieces. And you know, that to me, I don't think that's a very pleasant death either. What do you think? Do you think the king would do it? That he hears that you said something about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how long do you think before you're in little pieces? He's just proven he means what he says. And I'm not going to walk out tomorrow and say, well, I just don't like their God. He's made a believer out of me, and anybody who does, he says, they'll be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, a refuse place, a garbage dump, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Oh, by the way, the New Testament God isn't the same God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served, is he? Sure he is. He's the same one that saved them. He's the same one that could save you and I. Or you and me, properly. He's the same God. Now look, when their faith was tested, then it was vindicated and triumphant, would they have been raised to this position had they given in over here? You're just like everybody else. You're just like... And they proved they weren't like everybody else. Brethren, let's hold our hands together in faith and unity, and don't compromise the truth. It's tempting sometimes. We want to grow like other churches, grow like liberal churches, have what they have to get people to come. Remember that old story? You get them to come with the tea and the ice cream and the chicken. They're as cold as the tea, or as weak as the tea, and as cold as the ice cream, and as dead as the chicken. If we get people to come for what we can feed them. I was talking to one boy. I said, why do you go to church down there? He said, because I get to play baseball. I get to play on their softball team. He said, all I got to go is twice a month, and I can play on the team. Well, I wonder how many people we could have. You got room back here. You could have you a softball diamond. I mean, a soccer field, couldn't you? Sure you could. You got room. Would that entice young people to come? And then after the games, you could have a big wiener roast and a hog roast and whatever you wanted. And you could fill this building. You think people are not doing that, members of the church? Sure they are. And look how we're growing. Yes. Look how they're growing. Paul says we're called by the gospel, not by the food, fun, and frolic that we can give people, the entertainment that's there, and a little 5-minute sermonette, and we're out there, oh, let's go play. I've been in denominations where the basement was a fellowship hall, and smelled of coffee, and the donut, and I didn't hear a word she said. She said, the preacher. Yeah. I was hungry. That's how they got people to come. Well, we can't do that. We want our faith to be vindicated and triumphant. We're going to have to go through these folks. And then they will be. God will not let you down. I'll let you down. But God won't let you down. God didn't let Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down. He didn't let Daniel down, did he? Anybody in here stop the mouths of lions? Anybody in here save you, be able to save you, or you save somebody else from a burning fiery furnace? I couldn't save you from a match. I couldn't save you from a candle. You're going to put your hand in it, you're going to burn. But the God we serve, He saved them from burning, and He can save us from burning. Nobody ever invites people over and talks about hell, do we? We're going to have some meditation on hell. Talk about how awful it's going to be. Very seldom do we hear sermons on it. The fire and the brimstone. God has done all He can to describe it for us. To tell us, you don't want to go there. You don't want to be there. It's never ending. You know what I knew about my parents' punishment when I got sent to my room? I knew one day, it seemed like, they would come up and say, "You think you can act like the rest of us? You can come down." I knew it would end. But there's no opening out. No way out. And I don't want to go. And I don't want you to go. And we shouldn't want anybody to go. And the little petty things that get in our way, sometimes our own brethren, little petty things make us do things, talk ugly, act ugly. You want to go to hell over that? If it's all that valuable, let's handle it. Let's take care of it. Let's not be a problem. Let's do what we have to do. Because one of these days, my heart and yours are going to stop. The doctor's going to say, "We've done all we can do." Have you done all you can do? To do what God wants you to do. And don't be begging and pleading for another moment's life to be able to undo what you've done all your life. Why don't you do it tonight? Be faithful to God. Be found faithful when He comes. And be His child. If you understand what you must do to become a child of God, then do it. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. If you don't understand, we'll be happy to study with you. Anytime, day or night. And to help you get into the kingdom, the body of Christ. Be born of water and of the Spirit. And if you've done that in the past, and you've fallen away, and you need to return, won't you come tonight while we stand, while we sing?